Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two things. One, if you know the cheese grater guy, have him call in. Would love to know how he got in with the cheese grater.
I just asked that question. Like, how did he get that in?
Yeah.
How did he sneak that in?
Who knows? It was awesome.
It was.
And, you know, I'm not surprised at all that Dan didn't know winning would clinch a playoff spot because he's not focused. That's not the goal. The goal isn't just to get into the playoffs. That's great. The goal isn't to win the division. Like if they seal the division, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not aware of that. The goal is to win the Super Bowl. That's the focus. Working back from that, it's the one seed. To get the one seed, you need the division. To get the division, you need to be, I mean, you go right down the list of goals, you got to get into the playoffs. His focus isn't on just getting into the playoffs, so I'm not surprised at all he didn't know that that was a clinching game.
Seven games. Four in the regular season, three in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Seven games. That's the focus.
His last four have gone quick. When he dropped that, there's 11 games left. And now to sit here and say seven.
Well, do you realize why it went quick? They played four games in 18 days.
Right.
And they won all of them. Think about that. In the NFL, to play four games in 18 days with half a defense and to win all of them. And by the way, these were not all against bottom feeders. Green Bay's a good football team. Houston's a good football team.
Yeah. And they came out smelling like a rose.
Yep.
And at the beginning of the year, we were talking, hey, in the first quarter of the season, right, go 3-1, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it was, well, you know, if Green Bay on the road and you know this team and this team, well, if they come out of this 2-2, that's going to be best. They go 4-0. And they just keep winning. They keep overcoming challenges. And it's all led from the moment this season kicked off to where it is now. It's led by Dan Campbell, but it's assisted heavily by the fact that Brad Holmes has been able to go out there, David Long Jr. I think that's a great signing.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable how he has been able to find guys that fit the culture, the mindset, and how guys want to come here and be a part of it.
To the phones we go. Steve in Oxford, you're on 97.1.
Yeah. I want to talk about Dan Gamble's integrity and his philosophy because he hasn't changed one bit. From when he first came, if you guys remember when we were terrible, he used to do the fourth down thing, and I could never understand. We're terrible. We're in a hole, and you're going for it on fourth down. But he had a vision, and he had to convince these guys, these players, that we can make it, and they do. Now, I'd like to know the percentage of what are percentages of going on fourth down and making it and not making it right now as of last 2 years, because these guys are all for it. I think they get fired up as soon as he calls fourth down. They're going for it. I think they get fired up.
Oh, hell yeah, they do.
They want to do it.
Yeah.
And I just – it's awesome because he's just I have so much confidence in him. And, you know, my son got upset because the one that they didn't make. And I says, no, man, that's Dan Campbell. I mean, he says, they're expecting it from us. And a lot of NFL teams are now starting to go on fourth down, if you've noticed that. I've watched other games. It's like, no one ever went on fourth down. They're going to punt it. But, nope, not Dan Campbell. And I tell you one thing. I think our team gets fired up because they're going on fourth down. I think it's hard to stop us because of that.
And I think they win.
What do you think?
I think they win because they go for it on fourth down. Like, that's what gets lost in all of this is, like, it's aggressive, but it's winning football.
Well, you set that mindset in year one and year two, and you get guys to believe, you get them to buy in, and you can even go to, you know, things that guys have said in losses. What did Taylor Decker say after they lost to Buffalo on Thanksgiving? This is not the same Lions team. And they haven't lost back-to-back games since that.
No. And again, these are decisions where if you're going to win, you're going to need to score on that fourth down in the red zone. And they did twice. If you're going to win this game with this banged up defense, you're going to need to extend possessions. They converted four of the five that they went for. The one they didn't get was from their own 31, which is unconventional. And I think a lot of people were uncomfortable with it.
What did we see last week? We saw John Harbaugh do it from his 17-yard line. And everybody was talking about two weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, would Dan Campbell ever do that? Well, Dan Campbell did against Kansas City. It was, I think maybe it was the 18-yard line. He went for the fake punt.
And I think people were upset at the play call. Like, they wanted something up the gut, a sneak or something right over the center. Green Bay came out with double A gaps. They were you know,
stacked
in the middle. So what do you do? You're going to have to try to run
outside the tackle.
Sure. So run Penei Sewell side and try to get it. And it didn't work. It's not always going to work. It's not 100%. It's why it's a gamble. But if it works more than it doesn't, if it plays to the strength of your football team, if it leads to wins, like, these are things that we've been waiting. Lions fans have watched a team be afraid to make the mistake for years, right? Dan Campbell's not afraid to make a mistake.
No.
And I think it only emboldens the team. To the caller's point, these guys are fired up. Tim Patrick said after the game, coach told us, if it's fourth and short, we're going for it. And that also speaks to a game plan during the week, right? You know what you're working with. If this is the peak of this defense, if they're 100% healthy, Hutch is out there, secondary's been remade, Alex Anzalone's playing with Jack Campbell, all right, maybe with a lead in your own territory, you punt the football. That wasn't the case yesterday.
No, and it was, I mean, it just was a thing of beauty. There's no anxiety of guessing what Dan is going to do. There might be anxiety in, are they going to convert it, which they do more times than not, but the anxiety has been removed. Fourth and short, going for it.
Ticket text and phone calls. Let's get to Josh and Warren. Josh, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. And with that depleted defense, I'm pretty sure the Packers didn't even get 100 yards rushing. Am I correct?
You're right.
99.
So that's another staple right there. But I think Dan Campbell completely has changed the NFL because Matt Day, I mean, Ryan LaFleur, I mean, they're the same guy. So he's completely gotten into their head. I'm convinced, and you'll never convince me otherwise, that fourth down play at the end of the game, the Packers were told, don't jump off sides. They did not expect that ball to be snapped. They were, how did you not give up? It was a fourth and inches, and you gave up 7 yards. You got blown off the ball on a broken play, by the way. The Packers were not, you'll never convince me, they were not coached to be prepared for that snap. Matt LaFleur, Dan Campbell is in his head so bad, he stood there, and if you can go back and watch the replay at the end of the game, they show LaFleur's face when they got the first down. He just stood there and stared at the screen. He had no idea they were going to snap that ball, I'm convinced.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that they were convinced they weren't going to snap the ball because they know what Dan Campbell does. And I know if you're listening to the broadcast, listen to Kerr Herbstreit, he said, you know, oh, they're going to run this down and then kick the field goal. So they don't. And then the offense comes on the ball on the field. And he says on the broadcast, oh, well, they're probably going to run this down, see if they can make some motion, some, you know, go off, use some inflection to try and get them to jump off sides. Then they run the play. And the only thing that was broken about the play was they started to fall down. This was, when you get to this point of the game, you know what a defense is going to do when you line up in a certain formation. So they put Laporta in the wing on the left side. And they've got Tim Patrick standing up outside Penei Sewell. They did this so that they could create a double team with Zeitler and Penei Sewell. They got the three technique. If you put Laporta on the ball next to Sewell, probably you get a five technique, and then that double team goes from inside guard and tackle to tackle and tight end, which, okay, it's still Penei Sewell's a part of it, but you have much more of an advantage when Penei Sewell is coming down. Tim Patrick, all he does is a distraction block. He cuts across the outside linebacker's face, and then all of a sudden that outside linebacker gets whammed by Sam Laporta and Zeitler. I mean, Zylstra. A lot of Z's in this one. Zylstra. And it was the perfect formation, play call, timing, execution. They got the Green Bay Packers to line up how they wanted to, and they used it to their advantage.
People, you have to understand, I've watched John watch this play like a dozen times this morning, and you've eaten this up because you love the formation and then the execution, the play call. All of it felt perfect, and maybe Green Bay was a little caught off guard because, John, while I'm certainly not mad that he went for it, I thought there was a possibility they were just going to run the clock down and kick the field goal, right? It's inside the final minute. I think conventional wisdom is you take the three there. I'm not mad that they went for it. I understood why he did. He didn't want to leave any time for Jordan Love against a beat-up defense.
And I have it paused right here as Frank is snapping the ball. Green Bay was not passive on this. They were firing off the ball. They were ready to play this down. They were just outsmarted by Ben Johnson, and then they were just out-executed by the players.
Dan Campbell's gambles, 4 of 5 on fourth down. Two of them, the last two of them, you might have thought he was playing with fire. You can be honest with us. What did you think of those decisions? And what do you make of this football team? Dan Campbell said, we're supposed to be here. We're destined to be here. I can't imagine there are many people who are holdouts at this point. This team's winning the Super Bowl, right? It's 97-1.
Hey, when it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. You don't want to gamble with this one. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham & Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury. Whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes, you're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random individual that you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
Didn't get it. Went for it. Fourth and inches. Your own 31. What's he thinking? 248-539-9797. He's thinking, I don't want to punt the ball. It's a shootout. My defense is beat up. They're winning at the time, so I think it's super unconventional.
Well, and if you believe that, okay, our ability to stop them is limited, would I rather they score on a 30-yard drive, or would I rather punt the ball and Jack Fox get them down inside the 20, 15,
sure,
and they go the length of the field? Now you've burnt up that much clock,
which they needed at the end of the game. Yeah. And again,
and this team
has
been good
in
the red zone.
Very good. Packers scored 4 touchdowns in their final 6 possessions, scored points on 5 of the final 6 possessions. Dan Campbell played the way they had to win that football game. They had to keep their offense on the field. They had to win time of possession. They had to keep Jordan Love off the field. They had to keep their own defense, which is full of guys who had just shown up from practice squads. They had to keep those guys from logging major snaps. Didn't want them to get exposed. That's good coaching. That's your offense is the strength of your football team on that day. It's 4th and inches. For crying out loud, it's 4th and inches. It's not 4th and 5 or 4th and 10. Right. It's 4th and inches. And I think you trust this personnel. And it worked 4 of the 5 times that they converted on 4th down yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe you have the best offensive line in the NFL, and you could make an argument for Philadelphia.
Sure, debate it, whatever.
I would love for anybody to have that argument with Dan Campbell. I would love to listen to that argument, because there is nothing that you're going to say, do, or show that is going to make him believe that he doesn't have the best offensive line in the league.
Lions didn't punt in the second half. Jack Fox went up to the suites. He was serving hors d'oeuvres. They did not punt in the second half. And I think that's because of the game script. That's because, I mean, first of all, they didn't have any obvious 4th downs. But I think it's also because Dan Campbell knew that's the way they had to play to win the game. And I don't think he would do it if Hutch was healthy and Alex Anzalone was healthy and they had this entire defense playing at full strength. They probably punt the ball in their own territory with the lead. That's not the way it was set up last night. 248-539-9797. It's why, listen, I've said calls that he's made are reckless. This one I thought was necessary. 248-539-9797. Dan and Warren, get your thoughts. You're on 97.1.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
What's up?
Good. How are you doing?
Can you hear me okay? I don't know if I got an echo feedback or a audio reloop, but can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you.
Loud and clear.
What you got?
Okay, cool. All right. I just want to say, touching on this, I know we all know that the end game is Super Bowl, obviously. We know that. And I think last year we played ourselves out of Super Bowl contention in that NFC playoff game. I think Dan Campbell even knew that we had playoff implications on the game, but he knows, as a good coach knows, we can't put the cart in front of the horse. We have to take care of our business this week, or that's not possible. Plain and simple. Yeah. I mean, every coach knows the pulse of their team, and they will respond to that. And ultimately, the guys are responding. I mean, they're responding. I honestly, last night going into that game, as beat up as we were, my doubts were less than 30% winning that game, honestly. I mean, I didn't think we had a chance because we've been so decimated on our defense.
And yet, here we are.
I know. It's amazing. It's great. I mean, it's great to be a Lions fan. But again, I think it speaks a lot for Dan's accountability on the team, you know. He's like, I'm not asking you guys to go do anything more than what you're capable of giving
yep.
me.
Yep.
But what he's giving them is pulling everything else out of them to set that bar higher and to achieve higher standards.
Yeah, we talked about the fact that he'll own it at the podium too, by the way. If a call blows up and they lose the game, he's not afraid to go to the podium and own it. Now, they won, so there was really no owning it that needed to happen.
Yeah.
But he's not afraid of that. And the accountability is what he just referenced. That's why I say that. He's not afraid of that.
No, he's not afraid of it all. He's not going to shy away from any tough decisions. And what he is doing, whether on purpose or not, is deflecting any pressure off of his team and putting it all on himself. Because if it doesn't work, who's going to go to the podium and say, it's on me? Dan Campbell.
John, you said something earlier today that I hadn't thought of with these fourth down decisions. And everybody focuses on the NFC title game, and everyone goes, oh, that fourth and two, and he killed it. Josh Reynolds dropped the ball. I liked that Dan Campbell went for it on the fourth downs in that NFC championship game. But you highlighted something from that game that you think he may have learned from.
Oh, yeah. It's the final possession of the first half. And we talked about it a couple of days later, and Gov was the one that brought it up, thought that was one that he may regret not
settling
actually
for
going
goal.
For it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he ends up settling for a field goal. And at that time, it was, what was the score? It was, I got it right here, 21-7. They get a punt from San Francisco, and they go on a 17-play, 68-yard drive that takes up, you know, basically the rest of the first half, 4:52. They get down inside, and it's first and goal from the 7. They don't pick up anything. It's second and goal from the 7. They pick up 1. They take a timeout. It's third and goal from the 6. They pick up 3. Take another timeout. Now it's fourth and goal from the 3. He decides at that time that he's going to kick the field goal. And, I mean, we all know that they ended up losing by 3 at the end of the game. They had a 17-point lead going into halftime because they kicked that field goal. But what if it was a 21-point lead?
Yeah, there's this thought that Campbell was too aggressive in that game, but some could argue he wasn't aggressive enough.
Right, and I think that's one where he looks at it and says, you know what, I gave somebody else the power in that game. I did not keep my foot on the gas. I didn't take advantage of every single opportunity. Now, there is the thought that maybe he doesn't convert, and they go into halftime up only 14 versus 17. Sure, there's that threat, but your team knows that you want to go for it. Everyone else knows you want to go for it. And he didn't, I don't think he felt like he followed who he is or what his instincts were.
And the same situation presented, well, similar situation presented itself last night where they had a chance to settle for a field goal, 4th-and-3, goal line, end of the half, and they went for it, they got it, and they were up 10 points.
I'm going to take advantage of the momentum I have. I'm not going to give somebody else the power. I'm not going to give somebody else a chance. I am going to take a hold of this game right now, damn it, and F you guys.
Sure does. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, there's a car dealership in Livonia that had its license suspended after selling used cars as new. Okay, so Michigan officials are suspended the license of LaFontaine Motor in Livonia due to numerous violations of the Michigan Vehicle Code, including falsifying documentation so it could lease used vehicles as new. And officials said that the staff at the dealership continued to do this, continued to violate state laws, even after the state office like reiterated to them what makes a vehicle used under the Michigan Vehicle Code. So they kept doing it even though they were told, hey, we know what's going on. You need to change this. And officials say that these violations created an ongoing imminent threat to the health, safety, and welfare of the public, requiring emergency action. And the Secretary of State's office is now considering turning the case over to the Attorney General for a possible criminal investigation. Yikes.
No joke.
A Lincoln Park man is behind bars after authorities say a road rage incident led to a high-speed chase downriver. So Wyandotte police say that it all started when a woman actually flagged them down and told them that a complete stranger in another car was chasing her and trying to run her off the road. So police tried to pull the suspect over. Obviously, this guy refused to stop. The chase reached speeds of over 100 miles per hour. Eventually, they were able to catch this guy. And I guess it says that he spit blood in an officer's face while they were trying to arrest him. Now he is in jail awaiting charges. Yeah.
Disgusting.
Really gross. We all saw this coming. Mattel is being sued for the packaging on their Wicked dolls that included that link to an adult website. So there is a woman in South Carolina that filed a class action lawsuit after she purchased one of these dolls for her younger daughter. The lawsuit claims that the woman's daughter visited the website printed on the back of the doll's packaging and whoop, got an eyeful there, was shocked by what she saw. Mom was shocked as well. So the woman claims that she and her daughter had experienced emotional distress due to this error and she wants to recover damages.
Saw that coming a mile away.
We knew it was there. We knew it was going to come. Okay, so forget about fine dining. There's a recent study that found that men in Michigan are most likely to choose Chick-fil-A for a first date. Huh. And then if Chick-fil-A isn't maybe where they're going to go, the second best, most popular place, Dairy Queen.
DQ?
Followed by Pizza Hut.
Really?
Yes!
Pizza Hut. Okay. How many Pizza Huts are even available anymore?
I don't know. But, okay, if that's not... I mean, kind of shocking. I mean, I
so what's your response as a woman? Is it a cheap date?
Yeah, okay. That's me. I'm like, what? You're not taking me to a fast food. But listen to this. The study also found that 66% of women would be all right with a fast food first date. So really? They're okay with it.
I guess it's easy to get out of that situation.
So, I mean, it's kind of like going to grab coffee, I guess.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
It's a quick date. And it's cheap.
It's a low investment. Yeah. If this doesn't work out, I didn't blow a whole paycheck on it.
Well, so when I was on the dating apps, yeah, that you could do a drink, whether that's alcohol or coffee. Yeah. That's low pressure. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But to take someone to a fast food place, to me, it's like you were going to take them out to dinner, but you didn't think they...
Like, if I met somebody...
That's almost insulting.
Yeah, if I met somebody, I'm like, oh, we're really clicking. I really like this guy. And finally, he's like, all right, let's go out. I'd like to take you to dinner. Want to go to Chick-fil-A? I'd be like, not who I thought you were. Like, It's not for me.
Yeah.
But I'm not single, so it's all right.
I guess so.
a man in Canada would do almost anything. Well, actually, he would do anything to protect his wife, and he proved that by jumping on a polar bear to save his wife from being mauled. So this couple was at their house Tuesday morning. The bear was there in their driveway, ready to attack. As the bear lunged towards the woman, the husband just leapt onto the animal and tried to obviously pull the bear back. Instead, he was attacked, had serious injuries, but non-life-threatening injuries to his arms and his legs. Finally, a neighbor jumped in, shot the bear. Bear's dead.
Of the bears, the polar bear is the last one you want to mess with.
No, I'm not messing with that, but
yeah,
do anything for his wife.
Yeah. Yep. Save the day.
Mm-hmm.
Polar bears are no joke. Heather with the news. It's 97.1. And look, you look outside, it's snowing right now. It's cold. It's miserable. If you want to go somewhere warmer, how about heading out to Vegas? Dive into the best pool in history, Stadium Swim. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games at a viewing experience designed for the sports fans. 6 pools, 3 different levels, always a massive view of a 40-foot tall high-definition screen. Sounds good right about now. Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch all the big football games, any of the big games, really. You got hoops coming up, especially when we flip the calendar. Swim up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, a nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with private cabanas. Wherever you are, though, grab a lounge at the center of the action and reserve your place today. 365 days of sports, poolside. Located at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. That's Stadium Swim. All sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. End of the month of December we go, and the cookie jar has a Christmas theme for the next 3 weeks. Today, we begin with a classic debate.
Okay.
Real tree or fake tree?
So this one, I'm going to give you a little bit right in the fence. I would always defer to real tree, except right now with Teddy's age and he would love to pick apart a real tree. We can't have one, so we're going with the fake tree for now. But when the time is right, we're going to go back to the real tree, because there is absolutely nothing like the scent of a real tree in your house.
I'm all about the fake tree. I've never had a real tree. I'm not opposed to it, but I would not have one. I like the ease of having the real tree. I can set it up as early as I want. I don't have to deal with pine needles falling. I don't have to deal with the water. I've had a weird fear of fires and Christmas trees, and there's a bigger risk of fire with your lights on it with a real tree.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I always have been scared of that. So no, I like the fake trees.
So I grew up initially with the real tree. I remember vividly picking out the tree and taking it home and watering
that, though. That's cute.
That's awesome. But they are a pain, and even growing up, eventually we phased out of the real tree. So right now, team fake tree.
Yeah.
No hassle. You still get all the lights, still get all the good without any of the bad.
Yeah, but we have one that's pre-lit, and it's easy, right? Mm-hmm. But to me, it just doesn't look the same as when you hang the lights on the tree. It's just too uniform, too manufactured.
Okay, for your Christmas lights, do you like the white lights or the colors?
You look at me because you think I'm going to have a strong opinion. I do have a strong opinion on this, and it's different whether you're talking about indoor lights or outdoor lights.
Oh.
So indoor lights on your Christmas tree, I am all about the white lights. Mm-hmm. I've got white lights on the tree, white lights. We have some like garland on the mantle with lights, all white. Outside, go for it. Do the colored lights, do whatever you please. I used to not love the colored lights at all, but I do now. I like the colored lights outside.
So our fake tree is pre-lit with white lights, and we like the white lights on the inside. Now, Lisa will add some colored lights with the big glass bulbs on the tree inside, which I like. Outside, I'm all about the colored lights, and I like the old school. You can get the LED lights now with the big, and they're plastic bulbs, so they last. You can bang them around while you're putting them up. I really like those outside.
I have a stronger opinion. What about you?
Colored lights.
Inside too, on the Christmas
tree? Yes, and our current tree, yes, it has the variety.
Yeah. I like the big colored lights. I don't like the little ones that come on the pre-lit tree. I just don't like the little colored lights.
You like the big bulbs?
Oh, yeah.
I have a bigger opinion on the, I don't know if I'm going to call this right. They're the old school iridescent lights.
Yeah.
And then the new LED lights.
Yeah.
Like, I like the old school, more warm colored lights that I do
agree.
Like the cool LEDs.
Yep.
Do you guys have a preference back there?
Yes. As Hatchet once said, colored is fine.
Okay.
Agreed.
We're going to do some of this with movies and songs for the next few weeks. F, Mary, Kill, and I'll give you three. Christmas movies. Elf, Home Alone, Christmas Vacation.
So just a brief little tutorial here.
F is intercourse, John.
Yes, I understand that.
You've never played this game,
no,
John?
No,
Come on.
So that's obviously the one that you like the most?
It depends.
Oh, no. You want to marry the one you like the most?
Just a one-off?
Yeah. Just want to get your rocks off. Right. It depends on what you want.
Okay.
Jeez.
So
your choices again are?
Elf, Home Alone, or Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to kill Elf. I can't stand that movie. It annoys the hell out of me. I guess I'll F Home Alone And then Christmas Vacation, I'll marry that one because I could watch that one every day.
Heather?
Okay, well, I'm also going to kill Elf. I'm going to marry Home Alone because Home Alone to me is like my high school sweetheart, except it goes all the way back to elementary school. I have loved this movie since I was a child. I still love it today. So I think that relationship will last. I love Christmas Vacation. Yeah. I always enjoy it, but it's not...
It's a more of a one-off.
Yeah.
I am so proud of this show that we are all killing Elf. I'm also killing Elf. It's so cringy to me. I know people love it. I would kill it in a heartbeat. And then Heather, I, like you, would marry Home Alone. Mm-hmm. And Christmas Vacation's funny. And it would make that the F. All right. For Christmas songs, same game. All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. White Christmas and Jingle Bell Rock.
Kill All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey. I like the song. Don't like her. Don't like listening to her sing this song. So kill it. I guess I'll marry White Christmas because that's my favorite. I will sing that one all day, every day. And then I'll F Jingle Bell Rock.
This is hard because I like all of these songs.
Got to kill one.
I know. I want to kill All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah, thank. Go ahead. Go for it. Just don't.
No,
the urge is there. Just do it.
I kind of am leaning to marry White Christmas. It's like a classic that I've always loved.
By Bing Crosby.
Yes. It's got to be by Bing Crosby. Yeah. And then I think maybe I'll F All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I'm going to marry All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That is quintessential Christmas.
You're such a
Mariah is the queen of the season.
No.
She's the queen of Christmas.
She is. And I will.
Self-proclaimed.
I'll F White Christmas. And then I will kill Jingle Bell Rock. All of them are very good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have any crazy
takes? I'm with John. I align perfectly here. I was going to go back to the movies quick for you and ask if it was, you would marry it if it's Home Alone 2, right? Because of the cameo in it.
Oh,
stop it.
No, come on. No. In fact, Home Alone 2 is not even close to Home Alone 1.
I will... F All I Want for Christmas Is You, marry Jingle Bell Rock, kill White Christmas. Come on.
Oh, come on.
So drab and boring. Come on.
You're such a Scrooge.
Who's the hardest person in your life to shop for Christmas gifts?
Oh, it's certainly my wife. I mean, there's no question. I think most people would probably say their spouse.
You think so?
Or I think most guys would say their wife because you just, one, you want to get the perfect gift. And I mean, it just becomes very difficult unless they tell you all the details of what they actually want.
I agree with you. The reason for me, though, is that we have been together for so long that to come up with something really creative every single year gets difficult.
I get that, but you know your partner.
You do.
You're around them all the time. You can pick up on little things that they would like or they haven't bought. What makes it so tough is like my wife will buy whatever she wants for herself and then I can't. But for me, it's my dad. Guys are hard to get gifts for. He's got everything he wants.
Well, your dad, because kind of like what Heather said, you've been buying gifts for them, whether it's birthdays, it's Father's Day, it's Christmas, and you're like, well, does he need another tool for the garage?
More socks, another tie.
Hat and gloves. I mean, come on. What about you guys?
I'm going to say wifey. When she wants something, she doesn't put it on a Christmas list. She buys it from Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm aligning with Jim here. I think the father and father-in-laws are easily the two hardest. They have everything they want. I have no idea what to get them. They are the gift card people in our family versus my wife. I can at least try. She might take it back half of the time because it sucks.
Yeah.
But she at least likes the category of gift that I selected it from.
Right.
I buy a shirt. She doesn't like it. She go gets a different shirt.
Right.
Right.
Last one. Eggnog. Great or gross?
I mean, you've got two extremes here. I'll drink it. I don't necessarily think it's great, but I certainly don't think it's gross. So I guess I'll go with great.
I don't know if I've ever had eggnog.
Really?
But I want to say it's disgusting.
Oh no, you should try it. You should try it once.
Do you you put alcohol in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this still a thing?
Eggnog?
This seems like from the 1940s.
It is very much an older thing. No, I don't think anybody really makes eggnog. You can buy it at the store.
I think more people know what Bronner's is than eggnog. Like across the country, not just Michigan.
You're probably right. I have never had eggnog either, but it does gross me out. Yeah, the idea of it just doesn't sound good to me. So I'm going to go gross.
Huh. I have no problem with it.
All right. And there is your cookie jar. It's 97.1.
Hey, we got the holidays on the horizon. We've been talking about it. And if you want to start a great, healthy relationship with fitness and get in shape, you got to go to the Judgment Free Zone. And that is at Planet Fitness. Right now, they have a great deal going on. Hey, $15 a month. That's all you got to put down. And then you get a place that's going to be open all the time. And at no extra cost, you're going to get fitness training. It's for every membership that they have. And if when you go there, you fall in love with it, you want a little bit more, they've got the Planet Fitness Black Card, and you can enjoy all the amenities that they offer, including unlimited use of the Black Card Spa, featuring hydro massage, massage chairs, total body enhancement, and there's tons more. They also, you can also be have access to 2,500 locations worldwide. So if you travel, or if you're just around Metro Detroit, there's plenty of places around here. You got access to all of them. If you don't like going alone, you also get unlimited guest privileges. Right now going on, don't miss the Black Card membership sale that they have. You can save big. Just $1 down gets you everything you want. I mentioned all the spots in Detroit. It's from, they got a new one on 4th Street in Corktown. Briarwood Mall has one. They're all over the place. You see them all the time. So if you want more information, you can find it on the web at planetfitness.com.
What a game that was last night. Back and forth, high stakes. Down to the very end. Game-winning kick. Jake Bates with three game winners in his rookie season.
Yep. Minnesota, Houston, Green Bay. Only go up in pressure.
Dan Miller's call. And John, we've highlighted it all show long. Dan Campbell spoke to the team afterwards. We play that audio every single Victory Monday. Today, a Victory Friday. Mm-hmm. And we played that earlier for people. But we have, how would we put this? A different version.
Yeah. Little Ric Flair.
It was a wrestling promo after the game. It's not much more dramatic than what it actually was.
I like throwing a little Ric Flair in there. That's nice. A little background music.
Next week's going to be Hogan.
There we go. Brother. Man.
Macho Man. Stone Cold.
We've had a lot of texts the last day or two comparing Dan Campbell to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I see it. Yeah. I mean, he has more hair, but.
Do you think he'll, Dan Campbell at the parade, crunch a Budweiser on his head?
I don't know what that looks like, but I can't wait to see it.
I have started to think about that a little bit, what this is going to look like. I'm not sure Woodward can handle it.
I haven't put any thought into it. The only thing is, you know, like, okay, after last year, right, we get down to the NFC Championship game and you start thinking, okay, what if that happens? Like, you're so much closer. All I know is what we saw at the draft will pale in comparison to what downtown looks like if the Lions win the Super Bowl.
Look, we've openly talked about the Super Bowl since August.
Yeah.
And Dan's talked about it. Want the whole enchilada. And Brad Holmes hasn't run from it. That's their expectation, to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. We're getting down to it. We're like, as a station, we got to start making some plans, right? New Orleans hotel room.
Yeah.
Who's going?
If station's playing, I'll throw my hat in the ring. I'll put a number in there. Pick it from a hat. Let's go.
Yeah, this show. Let's just say it right now. We want to be there.
Yeah, we're the one that talks to Dan every week.
That's right.
We built up the relationship.
The show from the team hotel.
Sure, as it should be.
Listen, I'd say once in a lifetime, but it feels like we're just starting to get into the good times for Lions football. But you never take it for granted.
Enjoy the moment that we have in front of us.
Exactly.
You know, real quick, back on the parade, the aesthetics of a downtown, I think, are great for a parade atmosphere. You know, the tall buildings, the personality of a city. And really, you run that from, what, about Wayne State all the way to the river. And I think that's great. I honestly, really, the last time I was down there, I was kind of just checking. It is, I don't know if it could handle this.
Oh, it's going to have to.
Because I love the aesthetics part of it, but from a realistic standpoint, it's like you almost would need to shut down the airport and just have it there. Big, humongous, wide open space.
Yeah, but
just
you need
parade back and forth.
You got to be in the city. Buildings, you need streets. Yeah,
how about
you
shut down 75?
I think it might be shut down for them. They might not have a choice. I mean, if the Lions win the Super Bowl, all bets are off.
Yeah, it's going to be bonkers. And but the lead up to it, the every moment along the way, and we got so many things that we can look to in regards to moments, right? Open it up against the Rams, and
overtime win. Yeah,
the overtime win, and then the drive in overtime. I think part of that is probably as well why Dan didn't want to leave it to overtime. You don't want to lose a coin toss.
Yep.
But it's the cold weather and what you did in Green Bay. It's the mounting injuries. There have been so many moments that you could point to throughout the course of this season and obstacles that they've simply overcome.
Yeah, a lesser team loses.
Yeah.
A lesser team can't overcome these injuries.
Not mentally tough enough.
Yeah, Lions aren't a lesser team. I mean, John, it's mental, but it's also physical. Like, it's guys stepping up. I mean, Ezekiel Turner is making a key red zone stop on the final Packer possession.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are practice squad players. I mean, Quan Alexander just shows up. Jamal Adams just shows up. I mean, these aren't guys who you would... I mean, come on. The opening day lineup compared to what the lineup is right now on defense.
Yeah,
it's a testament to what they've been able to do.
Well, even on top of it last night, you think about division opponent and the juice that Green Bay came in here thinking that they were going to come in and win. Aleem McNeil then goes down. Now you've got Za'Darius Smith, who didn't even start the season with the team up front, and he's the only starter you have up there.
Right, because after Aleem McNeil goes down...
You've got Broderick Martin, you've got insert any other lineman's name, but it all goes back to the preparation for the season. It's building the roster to be able to withstand as many of these as you can. It's complementing the roster when you have to with guys like Za'Darius Smith or David Long Jr. or insert any guy that they have signed to be able to step in due to injury, but it's also Dan Campbell constructing his staff. Hey, you see that you can improve at a position group. Terrell Williams.
Yep.
Come on in. And the defensive line has been an absolute strength of this team.
Pat O'Connor, a name that I thought played well last night. But again, a guy who, I mean, we know Eastern Michigan connection, but that's not a guy who before the season was an NFL player. And here he is playing key snaps in a big NFL game, prime time against the Green Bay Packers.
When your number's called, you step up and you fill a role. We say it in college football all the time. The expectations for the position, not the player. And I think it's held very true for this Lions team.